They were like,
Wednesdays and Pujas is on Thursday.
Perfect. All right. Well, good to see everybody. Hope everybody is staying well and warm. Good cold snap here. But hopefully we'll have a nice heated discussion.
Wait, is the
Yeah.
song too hot? Too
Yeah.
hot to handle?
No, it's a good song. Good song.
Right.
Good song. I'd never, if you would have said to me years ago that I'm going to end up giving a class and the main focal person that I'm going to be talking about their song would be Bob Marley, I would have told you either you're smoking something or I'm smoking something.
Bob
Bob and Mar not even a question.
Marley.
Bob Marley was smoking something. But I am going to do a Bob Marley song tonight.
That's
How
cool.
out there is that?
Wow.
Not you, you know, this ain't no fly-by-night rabbi here. This is like. But to introduce the song, we have to first ask a very simple question. Really simple. And I don't, my calendar is correct. I know what the date is. I'm asking you the following question. We all know that when we sit around the Passover Seder, we have matzah and we have maror. And what's the other big thing we have? Okay, it's not such a biggie, but a really biggie.
One.
Wine.
One.
We have, okay, how many cups of wine? Well, let me rephrase the question. I
I
know my crowd. Okay, how many are actually mandated? How many you have is a different question.
Four.
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 Four. You sure? Final answer.
No, because
Okay.
one after Shulchan finishes and you sing, sometimes there's a fifth.
Yes, so once you've had four,
Right.
maybe he had the fifth
The
thing.
four are mandated. That is correct. Why? Why four?
Chill. It's a
Yes,
lot of questions.
there are a lot of themes of four. Four questions, four
Four
children.
children.
Yeah, there's a lot of fours.
Is that why four?
But that's my question.
Invention?
What?
Isn't there a bit of a throwback to convention?
Yes, it does. Grace after meals does have four blessings, but I don't think it's connected to
Okay.
this idea. Bob Marley
Three-loaf
had
bird,
certainly
four.
had more than four.
What?
Bob Marley, there's the three little birds, but I can't think of four.
Why four?
What do you think, folks? Why
Four
four cups?
seasons. I was going to
Four
say the four seasons.
Oh, they were good too.
And why would that be a theme specifically related to the Exodus? It's
No.
got to have some theme of the Exodus. So then it's one season.
You're right. Exodus. 40 years, but that's 40.
Oh, that would be that. I'd like to be in your seder. Yes, at our seder we have 48.
But they're small.
It adds up. So I'm surprised.
But we don't know.
Yeah, I am.
You're always
I am
surprising.
surprised. I am.
It's
Anybody,
like
how about our
the
television audience? Anyone know why we have four
it's
cups, specifically four?
got something to do with the Garden
Good answer, but I
Eden.
mean, it must.
Maybe I do know, but
Four
does that have
seasons.
anything to do with the play? No. No, because they're not
Not
really.
directly. You're on the right
Were
track.
there like stages of the Exodus? Like the beginning, everyone to go and actually leaving, and then.
Okay, so Liz is on to something. I don't know if you could hear that, but Liz was suggesting that it happened, the Exodus happened in stages.
Yeah, I hear Liz.
That is exactly what it is. And I'll show you. Watch this.
Planted.
No plan. One of our rules, Julia, one of our rules is we do not talk about the class here.
Oh,
I don't even saw
it. Wow. Wow. Muriel is like completely like, oh, yeah, sure. Oh, that is one of our rules. Nope, we don't talk about
Otherwise, we
it.
have to buy separately.
Here's what it says. This is the opening sentence of last week's Torah portion that we read, which is really the beginning of the Exodus period, really. We began
yes.
the Parshat Va'era,
mm-hmm.
which has seven of the 10 plagues. The last three are going to be in this week's Torah reading.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. But here's what it said. God spoke to Moses and said to him, I am the Lord. I appeared to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob as Kel Shakai, but I did not make myself known to them by the name Yud and Hey and Vav and Hey, right? That name that we don't pronounce. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they lived as sojourners. Here we go. I have now heard the moaning of the Israelites because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the children of Israel, say therefore to the Israelite people. Here's the quote. God tells Moses, tell the Jewish people the following. I am the Lord. I will free you from the labors of the Egyptians and deliver you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and through extraordinary chastisements. And I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your God who freed you from the labors of the Egyptians. The Torah uses four different expressions, right? As I always say, the Torah was not written by Charles Dickens. What's the difference between the way the Torah is written and what Dickens wrote?
Dickens got paid by the word.
That's correct. Dickens got paid by the word, which means that the Torah, when it uses similar expressions or what seem to be repetitious, you have to ask the question, what is being conveyed? Why can't it just be succinctly said? Tell the Jewish people, tell the Israelite people, I am the Lord, I will free you from Egypt. Simple.
But he had more to say.
But I'm asking you,
and
what is this?
What needed to be done?
Well, let's read it carefully. Remember, just because I've trained you to become scholarly and read the text carefully, don't throw that back in my face. That's exactly what you need to do. Let's read what it says. It says, say therefore to the Israelite people, I am the Lord. I will free you from the labors of the Egyptians. Okay? And deliver you from their bondage. I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and through extraordinary chastisements. And I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. There are four different levels or stages that are going on here.
But why isn't that last one two separate ones? It sounds like it's almost five.
Which, to be your God?
Yeah.
It's not. We'll come back to that. That's number four, and we'll see why. Good. Great question. Okay? Let's put ourselves in as the Jews that are enslaved. What kind of service are we doing? On a scale of 1 to 10, 1 being lighthouse work.
It's hard.
10, right? 10
it's
being,
hard.
Okay, it's probably 15. You know,
yeah.
It's up there. Harsh, burdensome, harsh labor. Okay? Let's say God took us out of the harsh labor. What's our scenario now? What?
You're still a slave.
Okay.
You're still stuck
we're still
there.
We're still slave. We're still working for them. Maybe it got down from a 15. Now it's down to a 2 or 3, which is a relief. Maybe that was enough. No, Shem says, I'm not just going to do that, but I'm going to take you out from working for them at all. You will not serve them at all. Okay. But your point was, what did you say?
What did I say?
They're still there.
Mm-hmm.
How about leaving when we have to be redeemed?
Mm-hmm.
Actually leave?
Mm-hmm.
So it goes in stages until when does the Exodus actually end? When does that time period end? What?
When they reach the promised land.
That's what? When they get to Israel 40 years later.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, you're shaking your head.
When they enter.
When they enter what?
Israel.
That's what he's saying. When they come to the promised land.
Well, coming to is not being in.
Well, that's 40 years later.
So there may be four stages of the Exodus.
Well, I'm asking you, where does the Exodus period end?
Well, the actual book?
No.
Yeah,
No.
The journey. You mean the
This thing that we say that we're supposed to remember the Exodus from Egypt every day, right? When does that period end? What's called the end of the Exodus? I'll make it easier. What event signifies
the law.
Ah, So Diane wants to say it's crossing the sea. We finally left. The Egyptians chased us. They got drowned. We crossed. Then we're heading out. Everything should have gone smoothly. Been to Israel in 11 days. Okay,
No.
that's what it should have been. Should have been, but we sinned with the golden calf. And that said, well, now we're going to take
It
quite a
should have
stroll.
been 11 days. Who told you that? I don't, that's what? It should have been 11 days walking. No, I'm serious.
If you don't sound serious.
Before here.
No, I am serious. I never heard that piece of it.
Just
Okay.
because you didn't hear doesn't mean it's
Oh,
not
no,
true.
I'm just interested.
Yes. Right? It should have been a relatively short journey. It wasn't going to be 40 years. Should not have taken
But I
40
thought
years to
they
cross.
had a
And I
way.
know, led by a man, he didn't want to stop for directions. I've heard this all before. Yes.
I thought they had to wait for two generations so that there was nobody,
Why?
because they didn't want anyone who was
The
guilty
cat
of
of
the
the.
calf. Oh, so the calf. Oh, okay. The calf changed the trajectory of the
Yes.
whole. Agreed.
Yeah.
I'm with you on that.
Okay.
Totally. Okay. But the way it should have worked, we left. The Egyptians chased. They got drowned. We should have gone from there to.
The canal is long.
To. You're
That's
missing
not
such
the
a.
mouth
Oh,
exchange.
hello.
Stop
Let's
it.
not forget the pivotal event here.
Yes.
Right? We left Egypt to get to Mount Sinai so that God could give us the Torah. And from there, we were supposed to travel, just go right up the coast, right towards the Mediterranean, boom, into Israel, call it a day. That's what should have been. Golden calf, we took a turn and we suffered for it. Okay. So let's go through this in stages. The first stage is to take this out from the hardships, the burdens, the real harsh labor. Then take you out from working completely for them, then physically liberating us. But that is not the end. Didn't we leave? Didn't that be enough? No.
Not
What?
Diane.
What?
It's not Diane.
No, it's not. What's the point of where all of this was meant to lead to what?
Get the law.
To get the law, to get the Torah. You see, you pointed it out, you picked up on it. But now, if I read it again, you'll notice that it's put all in one piece. Here are the stages. And the fourth stage is several say to these other people, I am the Lord, I will free you from the labors. I have it in my book, it translated as the burdens. That's the harsh labor of the Egyptians. Deliver you from their bondage. You will not work for them at all. Then I will redeem you with an outstretched arm and through extraordinary chastisements. And here's number four. And I will take you to be my people and I will be your God. When does that happen?
Mount Sinai.
Sinai. So
Seven.
you see the entire game plan, the roadmap of why we're leaving is not just physical liberation. It was to ultimately become God's people given the Torah. That's the stage. Now, Joe is correct because I stopped one sentence early, purposely. The very next sentence says, I will bring you into the land which I swore to give to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and I will give it to you for a possession. That's really your fifth cup. You know which cup that is? You have Elijah's cup. Ah, Elijah's cup. That's exactly where this
I am
concept.
so sitting in the passenger seat on
The
really earned it,
leaves
but
are that, right? We drink four. Now, okay, different customs, how you deal with Elijah's cup, some pour it into the four. But the point being that we drink four, and there's another one that's called Elijah's cup. Why, of all people, Elijah? What's he got to do with the Seder? He wasn't around at the time of the Exodus. What's he famous for?
he's a prophet. He was.
So, there are more than one prophet.
Does he represent the coming of Mashiach?
Good Lord, how do you
I'm
know all
not.
this?
Can you
Yes,
flip me
this
a
is
note? I
the
say
refresh us about.
Elijah. Elijah lived. Elijah lived. He lived, one second, prior to the building of Temple One. Okay, before King David, before King Solomon. He was a prophet who received tremendous communications from God to help the Jewish people stay on track, which they needed a lot of help. I say they, us. This is us, not them, right? Elijah had a really difficult task because at that point, in our history, we were vacillating between belief in God and idol worship. A lot of stuff going on. And we kept doing it. At one point, Elijah totally loses his cool, and he's berates the Jewish people and says, "How long are you going to jump on both sides of the fence? Today you're with God, tomorrow you're with the idol. Today you're with God, the next day back, and you keep jumping." He says, "Pick a side, whichever side it is, but pick a side." Real harsh. Elijah, we're told, the tradition has that ultimately, when the Messiah comes, you need to have somebody to announce his arrival. Elijah's the dude. He's the one. It's always associated with, there are many songs that we sing, especially on Saturday night. There are songs after Shabbat that's related to Havdalah. We talk about Eliyahu HaNavi, Eliyahu HaTishbi, why are we talking about Elijah on a Saturday night? Why?
He's coming back.
This week. This is the week. This is the week. We start a new week. That's what it is. Shavua Tov. That's what it is. So Elijah is associated, which is why at the end of the Pesach Seder, when we've gone through the process of talking about how we were redeemed from the Egyptian servitude and from that harsh time, Elijah is going to be the one to take us out of the current exile. It's not for tonight, but if you look at the ordering of the Haggadah, there's a switch at some point of where we stop talking about the redemption of the Jews from Egypt and we start talking about the redemption going future, because it one leads to the other. So Elijah is the prophet that's going to usher in that era. Hence, when at the end, what's one of the last things we say at the Seder in the Haggadah? One of
Next
the
year in
Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem, the Shana Haba. Push the buzzer fast. Right? We say Lashana
Haba
Yerushalayim, next year in Jerusalem. What was that? Egypt. We switch somewhere in the middle there, and now the eyes are facing forward, and that's why we have Elijah's cup.
Well,
interesting.
Okay.
Remember that
Well,
verse.
So I was just going to say, make a note of this.
That's why I said five cups.
Yeah.
But the concept
But the
of,
kids can't see that it's.
yeah, we have to
but
drink it.
as a young parent, and of course we tell the kids, Elijah's coming, right? And they're watching, you know, see,
Yeah.
I get the table, little shirt, you know, very good. Did you see it move? They're so excited. They saw Elijah drinking from a cup. Add another one. Oh,
Ah.
so that's where these kind from these expressions, four different expressions, and a fifth forward thinking. I will take you to the land. Okay? That's where these concepts come from. Okay. So you have these four expressions, but I'm going to read it a little more carefully. And I'm going to put an emphasis on the right syllable so you don't miss it. Okay? Hope this translation works as well as mine. I forgot my book. Here's what it says. The very first expression, say therefore to the people, I am the Lord, I will free you from the labors of the Egyptians. Okay? I'll take you out from under the harsh labor. We'll call it that. Then you have number two, three, four, and it ends. And I will take you, this is number four, remember? And I will take you to be my people, and I will be your God. And you shall know that I, the Lord, am your God who freed you from the labors of the Egyptians. Sounds like expression number
One.
one. Now, why isn't it, why am I connecting it back to number one?
And only.
And only number one. What happened to everything in the middle of not working for them at all, being redeemed? Taking, like, why
Maybe
back?
because it was the first step.
Could be, but why would you finish by saying, and the objective wasn't to take out from the harsh labor.
You're no
The
longer
objective was,
escape.
okay, I would have said, and
So
therefore I
what?
redeemed you. That's how I would have ended it. But why connect it to only stage one?
Get free will at that
free
point.
will
Go
free
ahead.
will maybe
Meaning, go ahead.
maybe decide for yourself what direction you're going in. You no longer feel
But they weren't able to
threatened.
after stage one. They were still working for the Egyptians, albeit not harsh labor. They really didn't have much choice. They were still slaves. So I got to teach you a cool Hebrew word. You ever go to Israel? Have you been to Israel? You know what this means? It's not a curse word. No. You know what this means?
Give me a minute. I'm working on
That's
it.
exactly what it means.
Give
That's exactly right.
it
It's savlanut. Savlanut, patience. They look at you like,
another day. Where is it used in this?
everywhere.
Like in the shucks and stuff.
Everywhere. You want to get to, you go to some municipality, you get, slicha.
Oh,
Yeah, you wish it was just saying that. Savlanut. And he looked at me like, Savlanut. Patience. The word sovel means to tolerate. Have patience. You bear it, bear and grin, grin and bear it. That's what the word means. You don't have one with the Hebrew, do you?
No.
That's what you'll find fascinating. When you read that first expression.
You could get us one,
No problem. I'll get you one. I can hook you up. I know a guy.
It's also in here. I mean,
It is. I can show you. We can show you in here. It's everywhere, right? But the when if you read the first expression in Hebrew, it says, I am the Lord. I will free you mitachat from underneath sivlot Mitzrayim. Sivlot from the word savlanut. Literally, it means the burdens, but in a similar context, it could mean from being tolerant, from under being tolerant, where you are complacent. You've been willing to accept what position you have as second-class citizens a little bit too long.
Did they have a choice?
Wait, they do have a choice. You'll see. You'll
Okay,
see.
but back then?
You'll see.
Okay.
You'll see. Savlanut. You'll see.
She gave that one to
Right, like a meatball in the middle of
that.
Fabulous. That's no point. That's no point.
Uh-huh.
Forget this whole story. Talk about in your own life. If you've ever faced a challenge, doesn't have to be monumental, but you have a bad habit. Someone points something out, right? And you want to make a change, right? What's the first step?
Acknowledging.
Acknowledging the situation, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Classic, not right? Rule number one in AA. You
Yeah.
have to acknowledge. You have to first come to recognize and say, my situation is no longer tolerable. Because as long as you're complacent, as long as you're tolerating it, you have no reason to change. The entire Exodus, the entire redemption of the Jewish people hinges on the first step. If you will stop tolerating being a slave, if you are willing to say, this is not a tenable situation for us, what can I do though? Diane asks, what can I do? There's one thing you can always do. And that is,
Right.
you can always cry out. In fact, I'll read you the sentence again. It's right there. Go back. The very beginning of the verses. I'm the Lord, I appeared to Abraham. I also established my covenant with them to give them the land of Canaan, the land in which they live there. I have now heard the moaning of the Israelites because the Egyptians are holding them in bondage, and I have remembered my covenant. Say therefore to the Israelite people these four expressions. How does it start? They finally cry out and says, we can't bear this anymore.
And if they didn't cry out, would there not have been an exodus?
Not yet. Because how long had they been enslaved?
Long time.
Did they, what, I mean, they never cried out.
They never cried.
Notice the, I read you the words. There's one word here that sticks out very much. Really, well, I have now heard. I have now heard. Where were you yesterday? Oh, yesterday you weren't listening? Doesn't say that. They finally cried out. We finally accept, we no longer were willing to accept that this is a tenable situation. We've got to get out. And they cried. They knew they had no alternatives. They were powerless. They couldn't fight it. They had only one thing in the arsenal: to look up and say,
Oh,
I give up.
So 400 years, nobody cried out.
To the extent that the people felt that they couldn't do this anymore. No, maybe at individuals here and there, but as a people, no. In fact, another whole discussion. What's the name of that holiday that we celebrate this?
Pesach.
Pesach, right? The word Pesach, right? Where's the word from?
I thought it was from the Paschal Lamb.
Okay,
Yeah.
correct. And how do
Spring.
we normally translate it? The holiday is known in English as
Passover.
Passover. Why? And that's true because
Passover.
Asher Pasach
Yeah.
et Batei Bnei Yisrael, that God skipped over, passed
Right.
over the houses of the Jewish people. They put the blood, oh, the Paschal Lamb, fine. But the Arizal, one of the great Kabbalists, said that the word Pesach can be split into two words. Peh, peh is your mouth. Sach means to converse, to speak. Meaning, until this point, speech was also an exile. Not that they couldn't talk, but that ability to express their pain and not tolerate it anymore, that was just as much as enslaved as they were.
So, I'm trying to understand
First, are
that.
you digesting this? This is like,
Thinking. So, I'm trying to figure out the timeline between the collective protesting and Moses and the bush and
oh, way
Orpah.
before.
And
This
so,
is now.
this is way before any of that. So, Moses out
No,
is.
this is no. This is the time. Moses has already been chosen by God. He
Okay.
said, I hear the groan. I hear the groans. You the man. It's time for you to go back down to Egypt and lead the people out.
Okay.
Moshe comes at the end of the previous portion and he starts, comes to Pharaoh and he says, let my people go. And Pharaoh says, what? I don't know what you're talking about. God's in the God of the
How come
Hebrews? Who
they
that?
don't teach
What?
how come if it's so simple between Pet Sa,
Why don't people
why
teach
don't
that?
teach that? I mean, I'm sitting here
Ed,
going, yeah,
I'm here.
I know.
I'm trying.
You've done this for like 75
It's
years. I never heard that.
That's why
okay. She,
we're here.
she's much she's much younger, and she had never heard it as an 11-age baby.
Check. You can walk it.
It's a
Get
fascinating
on.
concept
Yeah,
that the people
only
lack the
11
ability
days.
to express the groan and the pain they must have felt, but a collective groan that the entire people felt to a point of where we can't tolerate this anymore. And that's the reason. It's not just it's the first expression. If you want to know what is the motivating factor to finally facilitate the Exodus, is because they finally spoke up and they weren't willing to tolerate. I will remove you from under the sivlot of Mitzrayim, from being tolerant, because now you've expressed it, now we can start the process. This is the very first thing we have to learn when we change, when we want to achieve something, we have to say, there are certain things, it's just not tolerant. I can't be tolerant of my situation. Being complacent can be enslaving. It's
Sure.
a terrible thing.
That's exactly what the civil rights movement
That's what it said.
was
That's
about.
correct. That
I
is
think it's
100%
ironic
correct.
that listening
It's
to
about
this
Martin Luther
point,
King.
this
This
is
is,
the point.
that's exactly right. That's exactly right.
Good point.
So, yeah, it's a recognition that we are not slaves. We want to be free. Now, our definition of freedom is not necessarily the definition of out there on the street. If you ask somebody, just a random person, their definition of freedom, it's the ability to do what you want when you want. But we're a little bit older and a little bit wiser, and we know that that's not a great definition because what that leads to is a different kind of enslavement, right? And that's where addictions all begin because I can do whatever I want. And then you go down a totally different path that is not freedom. Freedom is the ability is to have boundaries. That's really what freedom is. It's not do what you want when you want. It's to know this is the time for this and this is the time for that, right? The example I often give is for me, not answering my phone and not answering emails on Shabbos, that's not, I don't find it restrictive. I find that freedom. I'm not, I don't have to answer the phone because you decided to call me at that time. This is my time. This is my time with my family, my time to focus on my spiritual growth. Sorry. If it's urgent, someone will get a hold of me. The way it goes. Freedom isn't doing it, you know? Having the phone in your pocket, on your hip, wherever it is you have it, that's enslaving. You become enslaved to your phone. People cannot sit still without picking up their phone. They cannot sit. Right? First thing you do when you get in the car, put on the radio, put on the music. You can't be left alone with your thoughts. We've become so enslaved to this. I'm not averse to technology, but it has a time and a place. Freedom is the ability of being able to say no. That's true freedom. So when we physically leave Egypt, that's not the end of the Exodus yet. We're not free people yet. Maybe physically liberated, but I need a structure. I need guidelines to help me to live a productive life, to be as great as I possibly can be, to be free. Well, where's that? That was stage number four, coming to Mount Sinai and being given the rules, given the structure of how I can best succeed. It makes perfect sense. The Exodus ends officially when we get the Torah at Mount Sinai. Now, with that, you get to stage five of then going into the land because you're now equipped to be the right people with the right instructions in the right place, doing what needs to be done. That's the step-by-step order. Fascinating concept. But this is just the surface. We're just warming up. We're just warming up. Tell you a hard story where this concept that we become, it's not necessarily a conscious decision. We just fall into habits. We adapt to our situation, good or bad. And we just, that's just the way we roll. Until something shakes us out of it. And you need a little wake-up call every now and then. I know some people don't look forward to the high holidays. And I get it. I get it. It is hard. It is very taxing, not just physically, but mentally. If we are doing what we're really supposed to do leading up to that, it means doing introspection. It means being honest with ourselves that we have room for improvement and coming up with methods and strategies of how we can improve. It's hard work. It's hard work. I get it. But isn't everything worthwhile in terms of takes effort? If you can just plopple through at one, two, three, it doesn't have that much value. I get it. But I actually look forward to it because I, like everybody else, fall into certain habits. Right? And oh my God, I gotta get myself. Oh, right. Rosh Hashanah is coming. It's time to, okay, T, wake up. Come on, let's go. You made yourself a New Year's promise last year that you were going to be good about this. You haven't been as good at it. Okay, let's do it the month before, the month of Elul. Okay, we're going to do this. And then, of course, busy, teaching this class, doing that class. Still didn't do it. There's only 3 weeks left. And then there's only 2 weeks left. You know, it's Rosh Hashanah next week, right? I know. But at the same time, I find that very healthy. I'm shaken out of my routine. It's a good thing. We love going on vacation, right? We love it. Why? At the core, what is so great about vacation?
It's a break from your
It's a break from the routine. That's what it is. That at its core, that's what it is. And that's what's healthy. Now, of course, it helps when it's 70 degrees as opposed to 7 degrees.
But you're not doing dishes.
Right?
You're not doing the laundry. You're not
just thinking about
you're
your
not
lunch.
schlepping people out of your
Can't.
Right. It's that break from routine. It's healthy. We have to sometimes it's in a positive way of where you schedule it in and it's great. Sometimes it's a little bit of a, oh, didn't expect that. And it's a wake-up call. Sometimes it's a big wake-up call, if God forbid, you know, there's a tragedy in the family or in the neighborhood, right? That's a wake-up call also for us to re-examine and say, do I really need to be spending this much time, energy, and money on these things? Is that something more important? It's a wake-up call. It's not a terrible thing. But that's the reality. We fall into these habits and we become complacent. And it's not always good. Often it's not. So here's the story. The story tells us that when the patriarch Jacob passes away, he passed away in Egypt. Remember, his son Joseph is second in command. So he makes Joseph promise that when he passes away, he does not want to be buried in Egypt. He wants to be brought back to Canaan, what we call Israel, and buried together with his ancestors in the cave of Machpelah. No, where? What city?
Jericho.
No.
North, south.
That's not far from Jerusalem.
Right. Pepper?
Ding, ding, ding,
Oh,
ding.
well, that's
Hebron.
what I meant. Yeah.
All right, you're her mom. I'll give you a minute. She's sharing her points with you. You're listening. Hebron, okay? The Cave of Machpelah. Who's buried there? Adam and Eve, Abraham and
Abraham.
Sarah, Isaac and Rebekah, and Leah,
Not that.
but not Rachel. She's got her own tomb, Rachel's tomb, right? And Yaakov makes Yosef promise that when he dies, he wants to be take the last spot, right? It's only room for eight. That's it. It was his only law. Just kidding. Just kidding. You don't have to look that one up. Okay. So the Torah tells us that fine. They all and Egypt. Many of the ministers came out into as the entourage as a sign of respect to Joseph's father. And fine. They come to the cave of Machpelah, and they're getting ready to bury. And Uncle Esau meets them there, Jacob's brother. And he's like, sorry, you already took your spot. You gave it to your wife, Leah. This spot's mine. And there's a whole back and forth between the brothers, the nephews, and Uncle Esau. No, what are you talking about? We have the deed, which is meant for us. Yitzchak gave us the deed. And they're having this whole back and forth. And they say to one of the brothers, Naphtali, who was the fastest, he was probably on the track team, like Andrew. And he was going to run back to Egypt, go get it. The Torah tells us that one of Dan, right? One of the tribe, Dan, has a son who's deaf. His name is Hushim. That's his name. It's in the Torah. Hushim was deaf. You didn't know that either. I'm so glad I came. Hushim, the Midrash tells us, Hushim can't understand what's going on. He's deaf. And he sees the arguments, but he can't make it. Okay. I'm sure they didn't have sign language back then, and right, lip reading was to some degree, but he doesn't understand. And he's upset. Everybody's having these conversations and everyone's arguing this. And meanwhile, my grandfather Yaakov is sitting here and it's a disgrace. He's not being buried. What does he do?
Digs the hole.
No. He what?
He's not big enough.
Nope. You would not have expected this ending.
Scream.
Nope.
Takes a body out and puts him in.
Nope.
Throws himself.
Think much harsher.
Doesn't he cut off someone's head or something like that?
Yeah, he
Yeah.
kills Esau. He kills
Oh.
Esau, and you are right, D. He
Yeah.
literally decapitated Esau,
His aunt.
his uncle,
Right
yeah,
there.
right there,
Wait on.
his
And
uncle.
in the tomb,
Yeah.
he was left
What?
in the
How
tomb.
did he know what was going on? He just
He's,
sort of
he
just
just
watched
he
it. He
sees
just
Esau,
saw
and
it.
everybody's arguing
Yeah.
with Esau,
He
and
didn't like the
Esau's
arguing.
preventing from going in, and
He
he's
didn't
like,
come back.
absolutely not.
Yeah.
Watching.
Whoa.
And Esau is now dead.
Dead.
So is he somewhere?
Way to go, D.
Wasn't his head left in the tomb too? Like his
Okay.
head.
So
Yeah.
D knows the second half, and that is Esau's head actually makes it into the tomb of the Cave of Machpelah together with Yaakov, his head, and they took it as a sign not to remove it.
So they
It
prepare
rolled
the
in.
grave. It rolled in.
I'm
Not
just telling
fun.
you the facts, folks.
What
Just the fact. Okay?
the
See, if I would have said it, you'd be like, come on. D said it.
fuck?
Blame it on D. She knew it. Thanks, Neil. See you later.
Not deserving in life.
Okay. Besides, we first get over the shock of the story. Why am I sharing the story with you?
I know we
I'll
have all
tell
the
you
same
why.
questions, but we
I'll
can
tell
have
you
matching
why. Because the situation became a perfect example of where everybody, all the brothers, and everybody's having this whole this thing, and everyone is just complacent about leaving the deceased Jacob in a not a great position like this. He, the deaf boy, right, Hushim, he's not aware of what's going on, and he sees this is intolerable. This is unacceptable. Why doesn't he fall prey to the same complacency everybody else? His deafness doesn't allow him to be a, he doesn't
Kettle
fall
and
into com
pot entangled
he
in
doesn't
their
get
thick.
and everybody just adapts and says, well, we're going to win the argument. Not till he's going to go bring the deed. Don't worry, we're going to wait an hour or two. We'll get this, no problem. It'll all be sorted. And Hushim's like, oh no, we're not waiting for nothing.
Yeah, didn't he also think it was like disrespectful for him, for him to wait while the
Yes,
body was there? Yeah, he thought it was,
exactly. It's exactly right. He felt it was extremely disrespectful for Yaakov's body to be waiting like this. You bury right away.
But why did he kill Esau? Why didn't he kill someone else?
Because Esau's the only one who's holding up the burial.
But the deaf boy know that?
He sees, he's got eyes.
But he sees people
And he
argue.
sees Esau standing blocking from anyone allowing Yaakov to come in. He understood the situation. But the point being, he's not sucked into the situation because of his handicap, and he doesn't fall complacent. He stayed focused on not losing sight of what was
But it's
impossible.
commendable that he decapitated in the
Yep.
jungle.
Yes. The answer is yes.
No
Now, I
punishment.
know in today,
It doesn't really translate.
I grant you that this is not in Western civilization. You know, I grant you, and I'm not giving you license to go do this to your Uncle Larry. I'm not giving you license.
My rabbi told me it was okay.
It's under rabbinical supervision. But each time they thought that their argument would win against Esav, but meanwhile Yaakov laid in disgrace, and everybody became accustomed to their situation. Now it's an extreme example, but I think it still brings out the point that we get into, just we accept a situation even if it's not appropriate, it's not right. Now, does it warrant Esav being killed? I don't know. I don't know. We can argue. We can have that. It's fine. To me, it doesn't. The point that the Torah even bothers to tell us this means that there's something to be learned from. Okay? But let's keep going. Okay? Like I said, the first step is to say no more. Can't take it anymore, right? And it's the Talmud says that Egypt was the powerhouse empire of the time, which we know historically. But the term that the Talmud uses, no one ever escaped from Egypt. No prisoner, no slave ever escaped. It's okay. So you can take it at face value that, you know, that's similar to what was in World War II, right? Very few were able to get out, whether once they were in a concentration camp or what have you. Okay. Exceptions there. That the Talmud says, no one ever. Okay. So I always ask, okay, nice piece of Trivial Pursuit information, you know, but what is the message being conveyed? No one ever escaped. Want to know why no one ever escaped?
No one tried.
Not just didn't try. Why didn't they try?
They accepted it.
That's why. Houdini. You know, Houdini failed in one particular trick. You know which one?
The stomach.
Nope.
Well, you said the stomach, was it?
Yes.
In the water tank?
Yes. But what's one thing he could not get out of? Not the one that ultimately kill
Like the
him.
straitjacket?
No.
No, he
Was
did
it at
that.
a safe? Wasn't he laughing in some sort of a safe or box?
You're close.
I don't remember.
Suitcase.
No, it's not
Coffin.
the item.
No.
Oh, death.
No.
A tape.
No. It's not a matter of what the thing he was in.
Was it like the thing that he didn't believe he would be able to get out of?
It was unlocked.
What?
What?
It was unlocked. He tried to unlock what was already unlocked. Huh.
And he didn't know to like open it.
Because he assumed it was locked. Accepted the situation that it was locked.
Not his
Is that how he
finest
died?
moment. Nope, not his final. He didn't die with that.
No.
But he was a failure.
Okay.
It was a failure. Yeah. The very right? So when it says no slave ever fled Egypt, is because it never crossed anyone's mind.
It is not.
Mm-hmm. They were complacent. They were just accepting of that situation.
But even that first generation when they first became slaves.
See, but it wasn't harsh labor right away. When they were first made slaves, that's another misnomer, right? It didn't start like overnight. All of a sudden, the Jews were working harsh labor. The Torah says a new pharaoh arose. It's unclear what that means, whether it's actually a new pharaoh or the old pharaoh who just decided to disregard. Because the end of the sentence is, who didn't recognize Joseph. Now, everybody knew Joseph was the savior for Egypt. He came up with the economic plan that made it the powerhouse that it was. You mean to tell me nobody remembered Joseph? Come on.
Well, but it could mean like didn't recognize him as being someone who had earned a
Correct.
Certain amount of deference for his people.
Correct. That is correct. And that's why some of the sages say it's the same Pharaoh, but now he's got an attitude adjustment.
Mm-hmm.
He no longer was giving credit and saying, well, Joseph and his people, they have a special place. No, 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 no. Now we're done with that. That statute of limitation is over. Now we're getting down to other business. Time to, we need a slave workforce. But it was a slow process there also. It wasn't overnight.
Also, it's like that story about if you put a frog in boiling water, it'll try to get out immediately. If you just turn up the heat a little at a time.
Yeah.
And they spoil.
And doesn't even realize you should be trying to get out of here.
Yeah.
So if the labor slowly get worse and worse, then you don't have to get
so right analogy. But
whatever you have to assert him.
What?
And he killed the man. Was there recourse?
There is no such prohibition. He just made that up.
What?
You shall not kill. There is no such prohibition in the Torah.
Thou shalt not murder.
But thou shalt not murder. I didn't say murder is against the law.
I forgot what the difference is.
Big difference.
So
big
this
difference.
Was not murder?
What's the definition of murder?
Well, premeditation.
What if I premeditate I'm at war? I premeditate to kill somebody. Have I murdered him?
Why ask me that question?
And I answered it. And I
didn't war here.
It's not murder. It's not murder.
Yeah.
It is killing 100%.
Yeah.
There are circumstances where the taking of the life of someone else is not prohibited. I'm not saying it should be at the top of your bucket list, right? But there's a difference between what's defined as a murder and what's defined as taking a life. There's a difference. Whether Husham was, I don't know. I don't know. Does this warrant the punishment of what it was? I don't know. I don't know of any source that tells us Husham was punished. But
I was just mad.
I'm not aware of any.
So there's nothing in there that said something happened to him as a consequence.
But Aesop, was it because Aesop wasn't regarded highly in the family?
Because, I mean, Aesop is more than just not highly
regarded.
Because he's considered an evil.
Right.
Maybe he was deserving of it. Not my place to call, but maybe. I don't know. It's a fair question. I don't know. Listen to an idea based on this, what we're talking about. It's somewhat tongue-in-cheek, okay? I say it tongue-in-cheek. He tells a story about Rabbi Nachum. Rabbi Nachum, Chernobyler. You know what city he was from?
Chernobyl.
There you go. So Rabbi Nachum was once in an inn, and he arose at midnight to say Tikkun Chatzos. Those are prayers that very holy Jews say at midnight, imploring God to bring the Messiah and to end the exile. Don't look at me. I'm not from that category. The innkeeper, a very simple Jew, heard Reb Nachum reciting these psalms in the middle of the night and went down to him and asked, what are you saying? Reb Nachum explained, I am saying Tikkun Chatzos, that the master of the world should end our bitter exile and that we should all go to Israel and it should be finally over. The innkeeper was impressed. He went back upstairs, woke up his wife and told her, you know, there's a Jew downstairs who's praying that the exile should end and that we should all go to Israel. The wife turned over and said, go to Israel? What's going to be with the farm? What's going to be with the cows? What's going to be with the horses? The innkeeper was bothered by his wife's questions. He went back to Reb Nachum and he said, Reb Nachum, what will be with the farm and the cows and the horses? Reb Nachum said to him, you're worried about the cows and the house and the barn? And when the Cossacks come and the Tartars come and they pillage and plunder, then you're happy? Is that what you want? God will take us to Israel. No more Cossacks, no more Tartars. Again, the innkeeper was impressed. He ran back upstairs, related Reb Nachum's response to his wife. The wife said, "You go tell Reb Nachum that God should take all the Cossacks and all the tartans to Israel, and we'll stay here with the farm, the cows, and the horses." That's called being complacent.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Right? Look at the mentality. True story, I don't know. But it's a funny, it conveys the idea that we just become so adaptive to our situation, good or bad, and we just can't see beyond our nose. What happened to the bigger picture?
Sometimes it's hard.
It is hard. You think I'm giving you the easy
And
stuff?
I'm just saying that's why. It's because you're sometimes fighting against the tide is coming your way, and it's hard.
Yeah.
The what you said about no one was ever freed
Nor
from
ever escaped.
the, because even the Israelites who left Egypt.
Prior to the story of the Exodus, that statement, no one had ever left, no one ever escaped, is prior to us. We didn't escape. That's another good point.
Okay.
We didn't officially escape. We walked out with our heads held high on our timetable. There's another. When did we leave? What time of day? Okay. Is that what you're all going to say? No, I don't believe it for a second. You're all going to say we left at midnight.
I wasn't going to
Yeah.
say
No?
that.
We saw the newspapers.
Yeah, because I know
Ted, you don't
the
have any idea how many inaccuracies are in. It's a great movie. Oh my
It's
gosh.
a great movie.
Yes. Whoa, 1 second. To make matzah is not a lot of time.
No.
Still, we didn't leave
They didn't
without,
let.
but without making it, we said, okay, we need some food. We have to have some matzah.
It's the other way around.
It
They
was a
didn't
break of
stick
day.
around for the
Yeah.
dough to rise
Rice.
to become leavened
Bread.
bread. That's
Yeah.
how quickly they left.
18
That's
minutes?
under 18 minutes. It
Under
was,
18 minutes.
well, yeah, otherwise it turns into bread. It
No.
starts the fermenting
Well,
process.
what's the timing of
So if you read the story in the Torah just without really being careful, it sounds like they had to pass the lamb. They put the blood on the doorpost. God passed over that night. The firstborns all died. Pharaoh comes running to find Moshe and Aaron and okay, ready to go. But that's not true. You have to read a little further. And it wasn't until broad daylight the next day. Broad daylight. One of the reasons cited is because it shouldn't look like, well,
running
we're
out.
running out under the stealth of night. We got out. Oh, no. We are walking out because the time had come. God had kicked your fanny to such an extent that we're going out on our timetable, not when you want us to go.
So
We're done with
they were
that.
ready to go in the morning. They
They
knew
were
they were
ready to
going.
roll. They were
Well,
ready to
they
roll.
didn't get up
And
so
when
early.
God
They
and
didn't
Juan
make
get and when God said, "Now's
it.
the time," they didn't say, "Oh, but I just made my dough. Can I wait for it to make up?" They like, "No, we're out of here." God said, "Go, we're gone." That's the greatness. It's for another time, but I keep throwing this. Why not? Right? We call it the holiday of Pesach, right? That's what we call it, Passover. I dare you to find that term in the Torah where the holiday is called Passover. I challenge you. Good luck. You won't find it because it ain't there. Okay, Rabbi. What is it called?
What's called something else on what
What's it
Feast
called?
of Unleavened
Right.
Bread
It's
or
called Chag HaMatzot. That's
yeah.
really what it's called in the Torah. It's not called Chag HaPesach. It is not. That's our term. And one of the great Hasidic masters asked the basic question, who had the chutzpah to go change the name? If God called it Chag HaMatzot, I can't imagine. I mean, as much as Julia Schneider is great and she's amazing and she can do a million things, she's not going to have the audacity to say, God, have a different name.
It's much more positive to call it the holiday of Matzot than to call
Really? I would think just the opposite.
it. The opposite is God passed over us
Spared us and saved
but
us.
during while he was like killing all these other people next door.
Oh, and a week later when he drowns all the Egyptians, that's cool.
No, I didn't say
Okay.
that. But
So
if we're just celebrating like
what
matzah, then that's a much
do you
different.
mean just matzah?
Not just matzah,
What
but if
is
we're celebrating like.
what's the celebration on? Go ahead. Come on. You're onto it.
Okay.
What's the difference between, I don't want to give it away.
Okay.
Matzah.
Matzah.
Yeah, why do we eat matzah? Why? And don't say because it's a commandment. I know. But what's the rationale? What's the reason?
Of
Of what?
leaving very
of us leaving, like I just told you, of us going and following when God said go. We didn't delay. We didn't say, but I have to be in the There's still stuff in the bread machine. The repairman's coming at 11. We didn't do that. We said it's time to go. Okay, we're out of here.
But doesn't that also talk about gathering the wealth and
On the way
bread?
out, yeah.
So they
That's
couldn't
true.
make bread at the same time?
They were probably they were given it. They didn't have to even collect it. The Egyptians brought it to them.
What?
All the wealth and the stuff. Go, just go. They brought us everything.
They throw go
Already.
go.
Did the Jews make bread for the Egyptians also on a daily, like, is that part of a regular daily part of? I've never thought of
It
it, so
could have
I'm just
been.
coming up with this
It could have been.
question.
It probably was too easy of a job. They were out there really schwitzing, in the Middle Eastern heat, building these structures and stuff. I mean, it's tough. And then at one point they stopped providing all the raw materials and they had to go out to the field and get the straw and to make their own mortar. I mean,
How do you do that? The temple
know.
granaries are. I know. I saw.
So, where does okay? So, this great Hasidic master said the following: Pesach. Let me start this way. Every wonderful relationship between two people, if it's really a healthy relationship, they don't look at it what I'm doing for you, but rather I have appreciation for what you've done for me. Right? If everybody's only focused on themselves, that usually spells disaster in a relationship. It's about the other. You have to look to be able to see and be sensitive to the needs of the other person. So, okay. God calls it the holiday of matzah. God called, why? He says, look at my people. I told them it was time to go. They didn't ask 100 questions. They did this. They had for 1 minute they stopped being Jewish, right? And they didn't ask a million questions, come up with a thousand excuses, right? They just listened. Oh. He was smelling my people, right? So he
That's why
calls
stuck
it,
with us.
that's why he calls it the holiday of matzah. Look at what my people did for me. We turn around and we say, what we did for you? Are you kidding me? We appreciate what you did for us on that night when it was all craziness. What did you do? You spared us. You passed over all of our houses and saved us and took us out. Each one is looking at from the other's perspective. Isn't that great? What a beautiful insight about the relationship between us and Hashem.
Remember this last thing.
I know. So, okay. So, 1 second. So, let me just get my thoughts here. Why did I tell you this?
I'm trying to
We'll figure
remember
out
when we'll be on the web.
how Bob Marley fits in.
Oh, Bob Marley. We'll get that song in a second. Finally, one last piece, and then we'll look at the song.
Was that today?
I don't think the song is so great that this is the idea here. Now, I mentioned before that sometimes we need a little bit of a wake-up call, right? You need a little bit sometimes to be shaken out of our slumber and just stop being used to this. Break the routine. There's a great, so when the Jews left Egypt, okay, they didn't take a lot of provisions with them, okay? What'd they eat? The manna fell from heaven. Fine. When did it fall?
Well, in the morning.
Morning,
Okay,
because
every
it's
morning?
you.
Not
Friday, you got a double portion.
Friday, you got a double portion, meaning
For Shabbat.
because you didn't get one on Shabbat. See, that's one of the main reasons why when we sit down to our Shabbat meal, we have two cows. Reminiscent of the double portion of Friday because it didn't fall on Shabbos. Okay? Fine. When
Do you
Hashem.
still, when you do Motzi on Shabbos Day, you still do? Okay.
Yep, and I do it
Because
again for
you have
Challah
three.
Shabbos.
You go in with three, right?
All meals, if you're sitting down to a bread meal on Shabbos, it's two loaves. Always.
All loaves.
Whole
Yes.
loaves. Whole loaves. Okay? Okay, when the Torah tells us that Hashem told Moshe this is what's going to happen with the manna, he told him it's going to happen every morning. It's not going to happen on Shabbos, so therefore there'll be a double portion. However, when you read, when Moshe gives the instructions to the Jewish people, he leaves off the Shabbos deal. He only says it's going to fall every morning. And that's the way it is. with.
I can't remember where it is. Let me open this 700-page book. There it is.
Yeah.
1,624.
On the left
page. So they gathered it every morning. Each as much as he needed to eat, for when the sun grew hot, it would melt. On the sixth day, they gathered double the amount of food, 2 omers for each. And when all the chieftains of the community came and told Moses, he said to them, "Oh, that is what the Lord meant. Tomorrow is a day of rest, a holy Sabbath of the Lord. Bake what you would bake, boil what you would boil, and all that is left put aside to be kept until morning." He told them, this is, oh, right, that's what Hashem said. It's not going to happen on Shabbos because you prepare ahead of time and you'll get a little. Why didn't he tell them that ahead of time? He knew the instruction. You ever hear of the shock factor? When you shock somebody, you you know the information, but you want it to be like, whoa, what'd you just say?
But what would happen if they ate it already?
A double portion? Well, they came immediately. They said, whoa, why are we getting two? You promised us of only one a day.
Yeah, but someone could be eating it. And what happens if they ate it all with the
So next
portion?
Week, you they come for that.
One and done. One and done. You learn your lesson real fast.
You're just hungry.
Yeah. I assume you'll get from somebody. God has his way of doing
it. Take a piece and we pass it.
Go to the team's house. They always have
extra. We always have extra. Sometimes that's what it takes. Moshe wanted to make sure that this lesson about the importance of knowing that it's not going to come on Shabbos and you need to prepare ahead of time, if you would have told them on Sunday, you think they really would have remembered it for Friday? Probably not. So he didn't tell them this. And when it happened, they were like, whoa! Oh, I'm glad you asked. There is that. We need that in our lives sometimes, of a little bit of a wake up, a little bit of a Or like often you'll say, never thought about it that way. That's what we need. We need to be able, otherwise it's literally, we put our life on cruise control and we just keep going and going. Even if we're on the wrong highway, we just keep going and going and going.
So we don't become complacent.
No, that's the problem. If you're on cruise control, we become complacent.
Right.
We need to tap the brake. We need to be able to stop every now and then and say, is this the right way?
And that's
can I change?
Why,
how do I change?
That's partly why we need to have a funeral or something. All of a sudden, everybody, you know, it's just because we just had this and you know, we all know about it all our lives. And then it happens and we stand around going, I can't believe it just happened. Like, And really, why? It's only because we've put some kind of distance between that and our daily.
It's not easy to think about, especially the harsh, you know, realities of what happens, you know, with our mortality. But even on a much smaller scale, we just go and go and go and go. And we become complacent with our situation. Again, I hope it doesn't offend anybody, right? But this is the classic battered wife syndrome. Right, they stay in these terrible relationships. It's not a fault of theirs. I don't mean in any way, shape, or form. But you ask yourself, someone, thank God, who doesn't know from this, right? You ask yourself intellectually, how could you not?
Right.
The answer is because you're in a rut.
Yeah,
you're just complacent with it, and you think that there's no other way out. There's no other possibility, right? And you just, I hate to use the word, but you just tolerate the terrible situation. There comes a moment the Jewish people said, I groan, I cry out, I can't tolerate this anymore. I can't be complacent. And it's true on large scales, but even little things, we all know, right? I'm kicking myself. I went to the doctor a few months ago and he read me the Riot Act about not letting my weight go back on. And I know. Got to be careful about certain foods. And I know it.
Is this a real thing?
100% real.
Oh,
100% real. 100%.
Gotta cut out that hollow.
I got it. I got to limit it to one slice.
Right.
It's very hard,
hard.
Right? When I'm on the run and I'm constantly, right? Like today, I was saying, I was eating dinner in the car, and I was like, I'm so hungry. And I realized, and we went through the day, I was like, I need lunch today. There was like, I just, you know, but I'm being complacent. It's stupid. I need to get back on the treadmill. I need to be able to do that. I know. I'm just in my routine. I get home. I'm tired. That is not
Yeah.
But it's wrong.
But what did you say? What else did the doctor say when you go ahead?
He said, I really have to get stress out of my life. So this will probably be the last
Ah. The part about the double portion, maybe some of it was like let's assume they got the first. Do we know what day of the week all this happened?
What day?
The exit, like
The
the.
Exodus was on a Thursday.
Just the next
So the
day.
first time they got
Oh no, no. The
the first time
the
they got
manna didn't
them.
fall the day after they left.
They still had
Started
the
of they were still
opposite.
they were still they were still okay the first few days. The manna
Okay.
doesn't start till
The next step, Friday. Yeah.
till Sunday. No. I'd have to look it up again, Rashi tells us.
Alexa, when does
So
the Thursday, Friday, Saturday,
they had what to eat. I have to look up. I just
they had a
remembered.
few days,
Yes.
and then maybe they
Maybe.
even become complacent about that,
And think,
and
oh, they have
then
extra.
Friday, like, oh my gosh,
Right.
I another.
They've come to expect, okay, this is a daily thing. And then you change the routine, like, whoa, why is there two? Okay. I'm good with that. Bob Marley, one of the last songs that he wrote. He was already ill, he was already sick, and he called it the redemption song. If you want Alexa to play it, that's fine, because I'm not going to sing it, that's for sure. But if you just read the lyrics, Old Pirates, Yes, They Rabbi, you got to be Bob Marley to do that, right? See what you can read it. Sold I to the merchant ships, minutes after they took I from the bottomless pit. But my hand was made strong by the hand of the Almighty. We forward in this generation triumphantly. Won't you help me sing these songs of freedom? All I ever have, redemption song, redemption song. Here we go. Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. I love that one.
Yeah.
Emancipate yourself from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our minds. Isn't that what we were saying? The Jewish people were just tolerant of their situation, and the only way to kickstart is they had to first get out mitachas sivlo Mitzrayim, from being tolerant of their situation. You have to make the mental switch to say, I don't want this anymore. I'm going to make a change. Have no fear for atomic energy, because none of them can stop the time. How long shall they kill our prophets while we stand aside and look? Oh, some say it's just a part of it. We've got to fulfill the book. Won't you help me sing these on freedom, resentment, and redemption? And then again, emancipate yourselves from mental slavery. None but ourselves can free our mind. And he goes back to atomic energy, which was in the 70s, this whole thing. This was, it caught my eye. But this is in a very tangential way. The song, and he called it Redemption Song, which really struck me. Like, this is our song. This was our song for the redemption.
In reading Matasnayu's bio, he studied with Marley. In
Yeah.
fact, Marley was very much into the Jewish faith, according to Matasnayu. I don't know, I haven't met the guy, but his music is, he was a Rastafarian too.
Yeah.
Those children, some of his grandchildren are being raised Jewish too. I was there.
Marley,
Rastafarians,
I think they're exactly.
Ziggy's one of his sons.
Right.
From one of the many women. I thought we should head up, stand up, stand up for your rights. As long
There's a
as
lot of songs. There
yeah.
are a lot of songs, especially
Yeah.
in terms of the
It's
civil
all
rights movements, all of
about the
this.
same
You
thing.
know, I was debating. I went through, I don't know, 30 songs to decide which one I think.
He did Exodus too, right?
Yeah.
That's on Exodus.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot
Yeah.
that one.
Sorry, that's
Oh,
what
I
it's
forgot
gonna
that
be
one.
that
Yeah.
one.
I was
No,
looking for
that's
songs that
funny.
had the
Nobody
theme,
stops
this theme.
listening.
So I came up with songs, you know, taking the other perspective. Fight, be resilient. But that's true. But that's the second step. This is the first step. You
Really,
got to
for your
have the
life, yeah.
mental capacity to say, I'm not going to accept this anymore. I want to control my anger. I want to be better about X. That is what we have to walk away with. Everyone is every one of us. We'll end with this. Every one of us is enslaved in some way, whether it's to our job, to a relationship, to a particular trait. We're all enslaved. That's just the nature of us. We become routine. We love habits, but we hate them. We have to be able to be strong enough when it's the right thing to do, to know when to break free and say, I'm going to make that change. Small change. That's where redemption begins. You can't get to any growth. You can't get to any improvement without this first stage of making this acknowledgement. I won't take this anymore. And I'm going to have to work on myself to be better than that. Whatever it is. Dieting, whatever it is, that's the first step. Because otherwise, life, we just become complacent and we become enslaved. Complacency is enslavement. That's the point. That's the punchline here. That's my thought. It's out there.
Great.
Awesome.
If you want to take this further, if you look in your Friday night service, if you ever go to the services and they sing Lecha Dodi, so
Yes.
one of the paragraphs starts, Hisna'ari me'afar kumi, right? Shake off the dust. You have a siddur? I'm sure you have a prayer book. I'm sure you have one. Can I trouble you for it?
Excuse me.
It's
next to my bed.
I was just
Oh, no.
going to say that.
So many
questions. So, yeah, the Torah at Sinai. So did the Jews, how did they know about Shabbat before that? Like, what were they, what, how was that lifestyle? How
It
did they
wasn't
know?
a lifestyle per se. They did not,
Right.
but soon after we physically left, before we even got to Sinai, there were three commandments. One of them was Shabbos. Perfect.
Affairs,
Oh,
but I
this is
also
fine.
have
I
this.
just needed it has the English that this one. Thank you. See, I'm bilingual. I can go both.
Can you tell us the other two commandments? No one asks you.
Hitnari me'afar kumi, arise and shake off the dust of the earth, wear glorious garments reflecting your worth. Messiah will lead us all soon to rebirth. Let my soul now sense redemption's warm rays. They ask him, arise and shake off the dust of the earth? Who's sitting in the dust of the earth? And that what who is this talking about?
Oh,
All of us
all of
when?
us.
This time period, previous,
Well,
Egypt.
the slaves were like covered in,
So
but they were
it's a
back
throwback
in
back to Egypt. He's shaking his head
everyday
now.
life. Yeah.
It's us.
Shows,
Yeah.
yeah, that's exactly what it is. It's not the Egypt. It's us
Okay.
today. It's us today, and that's
Yeah.
exactly the line.
You have enough.
We do because
Yeah.
we are just,
Like
we're like a bump
cobwebs.
hobwebs,
Yes.
right? And for us to get to that stage of where we want the Mashiach to come, right? How are we going to do it? Oh, just have to be good, right? You got to shake off the dust and get going. This is every Friday night we say this. It's not only talking about back then, it's talking about right here, right now. Arise and shake off the dust of the earth, wear glorious garments reflecting your worth, right? You ever see a prince or a princess sitting in the dirt? Never, never. It reminds us, you know who we are? We're noble people. We have a wonderful mission to bring a productive in this world. Why are we sitting in the dust? Shake it off and get going. And don't quote
And
me.
where
Don't quote him. Don't quote him. I don't want to hear it. I hear that song one more time. You know what I'm talking about.
Yes, you
What?
do. Yes.
No.
Yes, that's what. You will not find me quoting that song in any of our classes.
But.
Messiah will lead us all soon to rebirth. Let my soul now sense redemption's warm. This is talking about us. We have to shake it off. That's what we have to do. Complacency is
enslavement.
Ooh, that's, the nice. That's the punch.
That's the bumper sticker.
Very nice.
Bumper sticker.
We good?
Hey, let's make pillows.
Don't be complacent.
All right, Eric.
Yeah, we're good.
That's Tracy's job.
I know. Can I get
her? Hi, Pam. I'll see you.
I'm just going to turn off the recording. You're welcome to stick around.